Thanksgiving service tonight. I was going to do Thanksgiving. That's Thanksgiving. And then I saw where we were in our going to the book of 1 Samuel. I said, oh, no, we're going back to 1 Samuel, man. This is David and Goliath. Is there not a cause? I thought, oh, we're staying right here tonight. I got off it on last Sunday night, and we're back on it tonight. 1 Samuel chapter number 17. And it's a lot of verses, and we're not going to cover the entire. I'm going to skim through some of the verses tonight. We're not going to read all 58 verses, and we'll just go down through the scriptures. We'll end up after the battle here in verse 50 or so. But let me, we'll get it, try to get some words and get it in context here, what's going on. And this is a great portion of scripture for, like, young people. Youth conferences, the challenge. David's perspective was totally different than Saul's. And David's was heavenly. It wasn't about saving his own hide against that big mouth giant. It was about God. And David got it. And I hope tonight we'll spend just a couple of minutes talking about that. I think there has to be in the life of a Christian, it has to move from just being faithful, which we're thankful for every faithful Christian. Thank God for the faithfulness of God's people. But the longevity and the real work that gets done for God is when people get the cause. When they see the cause. And when they get that cause, no one has to call them on Saturday night to be in church on Sunday. They got a cause. They got something worth getting up for. And that's where a lot of leadership in Christianity comes from. That's where people rise to the top, and they're not waiting for other people to do it. That's when they start doing it. And it's a great chapter. And really, chapter 17, verses 1, it just kind of sets them where they are. And verse number 2, same thing. They were talking about where they were assembled. And it says they pitched by the valley of Elah, and it set the battle in array. You know, the array, just kind of strategy. Kind of checking each other out. You know, you ever see a couple guys are going to fight? They size each other up a little while, see the way they're going to come at. And that's kind of what they did, seeing where their strong spots were. They were sizing the armies up. The Philistines stood on the mountain on one side, and Israel stood on the mountain on the other side, and there was a valley between them. So you kind of get the picture there. And there went out a champion. There went out a champion out of the camp of the Philistines named Goliath of Gath. Gath was one of the cities, and whose height was 600 cubits and a span. And that's when you read, depends on what a span is, but anywhere is between like 8'5" and 13 feet high. We're talking about this guy was like, if he was 12 feet, if he was 9 feet, 10 feet, we're talking like a polar bear. You see a polar bear stand up on his back. And this is the guy that was defiling the armies of Israel here. And they went out a champion. You know, there's only one champion. The champion stands out everybody else. He's the top dog. He's the one everybody else wants a piece of. It's where everybody else wants to be. And that's where God wants to be. God wants to be the champion of our life. And he wants to be number one. And we're going to have a special. Let's pray together. Father, we thank you. Thank you, Lord, that this is not a fairy tale. Thank you, dear God, that this, although is in many of the children's books that we may read our children, that is a true story of something that took place in the lives of some people back in those days. Thank you, Lord, for recording it in the Bible. And I pray it would be an inspiration to us today. Thousands of years later, that there are still giants and there are still battles, and there still needs to be some people that have enough faith to look to you and overcome. And we pray you bless our time tonight. For Jesus' sake, we pray. Let's pick up the reading there, 1 Samuel chapter number 17. And let's pick it up, verse number 5 there. It's just a description of the armor that Goliath was wearing. The Bible says in verse number 5, and he had a helmet of brass upon his head, and he was armed with a coat of mail, and the weight of his coat was 500 shekels of brass. So, I mean, the fellow was sporting a coat that weighed about 125 pounds. We're talking about an animal, man. We're talking about someone that could just, and it goes on to talk about, it says, and he had greaves, which are kind of like a shin pad of brass upon his legs, and a target of brass between his shoulders. That was just some added protection, like he needed anymore. You know, he's a giant of a guy. He's got this mail on, and he's got this other plate over him for some protection. And his staff of spear was like a weaver's beam. And his spear's head weighed 600 shekels of iron. So just the head of his spear, I mean, his spear has got to be like a 4x4. And just the head of it's 15 pounds. I mean, could you imagine trying to fight a guy like that? With that size and just outfitted like that and the weapon like that and seeing that thing come at you. And he's 600, and the Bible says in verse number 8, and he stood and cried. Here we go. And he cried unto the armies of Israel and said unto them, why are ye come out to set your battle in array? Am not I a Philistine, and ye the servants of Saul? And then he sets the ground rules. He says, choose you a man for you, and let him come down to me. Let's make this real simple. Okay, you've been on that hill for a while, and we're on this hill over here. Let's simplify this. You get the best guy from your team and have him come out here, and we'll just have a one-on-one contest. And I'm sure a lot of the from both sides were thinking, hey, sounds good. I'm not going to lose any blood over this thing. We'll just go one-on-one, and who are we going to get from our side here? And he said in verse number 9, he says, if he be able to fight with me and to kill me, then will I be your servants, but if I prevail against him and kill him, then shall ye be our servants and serve us. And the Philistine said, I defy the armies of Israel this day. Give me a man that I may, that we may fight together. Okay, you got it? All right. Get the biggest, the best, the strongest, whoever your best is, bring them over here and we're going to fight. Now remember this in life. The battle's the Lord's. The battle's the Lord's. There's a lot of different things going on in our society right now. Remember this, the battle's not against us, it's against them and God. Okay, the homosexuality that's going on in our, don't take that personal. Their issue is between them and God. That's where their battle is. Yes, it goes against, and we ought to stand for righteousness, and we should stand. But ultimately, their battle is not with me and my battle is not with them. They've got to take it up with God. He's the one that they're going to have to finally answer to one day. And so he calls them out to a fight, and Saul and all Israel heard those words of the Philistine and were dismayed. They were frustrated. Bible says they were greatly afraid. They were scared. They looked at that guy and they thought, well, who in their right mind is going to fight him? Who's going to go out there? Any volunteers? Any of you guys looking to mix it up with this fellow over here? And they were frustrated with it. And David saw, the Bible says in verse number 12, now David was the son of the Ephrathite, the Bethlehem of Judah, whose name was Jesse, and he had 8 sons, and the man went among them, among men for an old man in the days of Saul. And the 3 eldest sons of Jesse went and followed Saul to the battle, and the names of the 3 sons, and it lists them, Eliab, Abinadab, and Shemaiah, and David was the youngest, and the 3 eldest followed Saul. But David went and returned from Saul to feed his father's sheep in Bethlehem. When you read down through the story, we just read in the last chapter how Saul had called David to come and play for him. And the Bible says that, that David was he was a cunning player of the harp. He was a mighty man of valor. He was a man of war. He went to Saul and Saul enjoyed his music. But sometimes the Bible it'll have verses, and sometimes there's weeks and months and even longer than that between a couple of verses. And so from the time that David came and played for Saul, he had went back to tending the sheep, and now the Philistines are coming, they're setting themselves in array, so they're all separated again. And now they're going to call David here to the scene. And so he says in verse number 15, David went and returned from Saul to feed his father's sheep in Bethlehem. And the Philistines drew near morning and evening, presented themselves 40 days. 40 days, 40 days. They got up in the morning, and this fellow Goliath came down, and he defied the armies of the living God, the God of the armies of God. He defied them. 40 days. 40 days. 40 days. Day after day after day. And I'm trying to put myself in the position of God's people thinking, this guy's wearing me out. I mean, someone's got to do something. But I don't want to do it. I mean, but someone's got to do something. We just can't sit here and listen to this guy come down here for 40 days. 40 days. There's numbers in the Bible have meaning. I can't try to take this too far, but 40 days, Moses was 40 days. Jesus was 40 days when he was tempted. What are some of the 40? What are the other 40 days? 40 years. 40, but 40 days. Day after day after day, Goliath comes down. He defies God's people, the God of Israel. And the Bible says in verse number 16, and the Philistine drew near morning and evening and presented himself 40 days. He was testing, he was tempting them. And Jesse said unto David, his son, take now for thy brethren an ephod, this parched corn and these 10 loaves, and run to the camp of thy brethren. In other words, I want you to go and I want you to check on them and carry these 10 cheeses unto the captain of their 1,000, and look how thy brethren fare, and take their pledge. That where it says take thy pledge there, the father is wanting to know, he wants a token to know that his boys are okay. In other words, take this food to them and bring me a token back so I know that, hey, they've been gone for 40 days plus. And so they send David down, the little shepherd boy, the ruddy David. Samuel has already talked to him. He's already been filled with the Spirit of God. He's gone back to tending sheep now. Now he goes back there. We said last week that when God anointed people in the Old Testament with His power, and the power of God came out, they did supernatural things. We said last week, Samson. There's no way a man could do what Samson did, but God did something supernatural. David gets anointed by Samuel. He goes back and he kills a lion and he kills a bear. Look, men just don't do that. he had some supernatural power from God. And the Bible says in verse number 19, now Saul and they and all the men of Israel were in the valley of Elah fighting with the Philistines, or they were in array to fight. The Bible says in verse number 20, and David rose up early in the morning and left the sheep with the keeper and took and went as Jesse had commanded him. And he came to the trench as the host was going forth to fight and shouted for the battle. And Israel and the Philistines had put the battle in array, army against army. In other words, they got up. They went through the same thing again. They put their army in array. They both were waiting for... As Goliath came over, they were waiting for a man to come down, and they were seeing if this was going to be the day of the battle. And David left his carriage. That word, that's an old English word, carriage there. It means luggage. And David left his carriage in the hand of the keeper. He had an assistant with him of the carriage and ran to the army, into the army and came and saluted his brethren. And as he talked with them, behold, there came up the champion. There he is again. There's that loud mouth, huge, a monster of a guy, the Philistine of Gath, Goliath by name, out of the armies of the Philistines, and spake according to the same words, and David heard them. And now David hasn't heard him before. They've heard him for 40 days. But David's come out, something new to him. He's like, well, what's this guy? Who's this big fella coming down? And the Bible says in verse number 24, and all the men of Israel, when they saw the man, fled from him and were sore afraid. And the men of Israel said, have ye seen this man that has come up? Surely to defy Israel is he come up. And it shall be that the man who killeth him, the king will enrich him with great riches and give him his daughter and make his father
father's house free in Israel. In other words, the man that can beat that big guy right there, the king will give him money. He'll give him his daughter. I don't know if that's a plus or a minus. No. They give him his daughter, and he pays no taxes. I mean, that's the incentive. I mean, if you want some money, and if you want, hey, the king's daughter, and you don't want to pay taxes, just help yourself there to Goliath. And verse number 26, and David spake to the men that stood by him, saying, what shall be done to the man that kills this Philistine and taketh away the reproach from Israel? For who is this uncircumcised Philistine that he should defy the armies of the living God? David recognized something that no one else recognized. It was Goliath against God here. And the people answered him after this manner, saying, so shall it be to the man that killeth him. And Eliab, his eldest brother, heard when he spake unto the men. And Eliab's anger was kindled against David. And he said, why camest thou down hither? And with whom hast thou left the few sheep in the wilderness? In other words, David, what are you doing down here? I mean, he's been putting up for 40 days listening to him. And now he's taking it out on his little brother. He said, Dave, what are you doing down here, David? You're supposed to be taking care of the sheep. I mean, you got no business being down here with the men of war. And he says, I know thy pride, and here's an old English word, and thy naughtiness. Naughty, naughty. Thy naughtiness of thine heart, for thou art come down that thou mightest see this battle. And so here you've got an older brother berating. You've got an older brother scolding the younger brother and saying, look it, this is no place for you. You're just a boy. You should be back home. Them sheep are probably all over the backside of the hill. How come you're not where you're supposed to be? Hey, he was frustrated. And you got to take it out on somebody, right? Usually, the older take it out on the younger. You're frustrated? Well, you can't beat up on the older one, so it's like, ah, what are you doing here? Well, get out of here, man. We're not supposed to be down here with the men. And so Eliab loses his cool a little bit. And David said, What have I now done? In other words, what have I done? Why are you taking this out on me? He says, look at, and then he uses that famous statement there. Is there not a cause? Is there not a cause? And, probably more sermons have been preached out of that text in youth conferences, and to young people, because it's true, is you have to live for a cause. Look at, why do people put money in an offering plate to send people halfway around the world? I mean, our church put in $9,000. Why do people do that? Because there's a cause. That's why. I mean, people see the cause. Why do people come back week after week to a church and they support a local church and they give sometimes above and beyond their ability? How come people do that? Now, the world would say, they're nuts. They're screwballs. They got their priority. No, it's because there's a cause. Look, if we don't see the cause, no one else is going to see it. The government doesn't care about souls. Industry doesn't care about souls. Look at, the church has to care about souls. That's our cause. And so we give to the cause of reaching people with the gospel. So we give offerings, we get on airplanes, and we disciple people, and we sing, and we try to build the church, and we try to reach people, because there's a cause. There's a cause. And David understood the cause. He said, is there not a cause? There is a reason to go. There's a reason to go soul winning. There's a reason to hand out gospel tracts. There's a reason. The reason is the souls of man. That's the cause. You got to get that cause deep down inside of you. You got to live for a cause. Because if you just live out of faithfulness and just trying to do right, you won't be around for the long haul. Something's going to happen. You're going to get offended. And you're not going to be able to withstand. There's got to be something deep down inside saying, look it, I'll give everything. I'll do anything. I'll go anyplace. Whatever God wants from my life, how I can help this cause, I'm in. I'm in. I'll give. I'll go. And David had it. David has had a cause. And so he says, is there not a cause? Yes, there is a cause. There is a cause. And it's bigger than us, and it's bigger than anything you can do on planet Earth here is bigger than any amount of money you can make. It's the souls of man. And David realized that God's name was at stake, and he turned from him toward the other and spake after the same manner. And the people answered him again after the former manner. And when the words were heard which David spake, they rehearsed them before Saul, and he sent for him. And so Saul heard that there was somebody that wanted to go down and fight him, and Saul says, we'll bring him up here. And David said unto Saul, let no man's heart fail because of him. Thy servant will go and fight this Philistine. And Saul said to David, thou art not able to go against this Philistine to fight with him, for thou art but a youth. And Saul looked at him, and Saul should have been the one to go to battle. He was head and shoulders above everybody else. He didn't go. We'll read later, Abner didn't go. Abner probably should have went. And he looked at David, and David says, look, I can beat him. And I think Saul looked at him and said, you got something I don't have. I don't have the courage you have. I wish I did. Now Saul did something that's totally irrational. Here's the king. The king is going to send a teenage boy to fight that monster. Do you know what happens to Saul if David gets eaten up by Goliath? The king sent a boy, and Goliath ripped him to pieces and threw him through the fowls of the air. Do you know what the people of God would have done to Saul? But Saul knew there was something in that boy. That was real. That was real. Look at young people, you can do stuff for God. You can do stuff for God. Can use you in your youth. He can use you. You don't have a lot of the age of experience, but look at God can take the courage, and God can take you and use you to do great things. Amen. Just because your youth doesn't mean God can't use you. David said, look at, I'll do it. I'll be the one. Yeah, you see his spear? You see how tall he is? I don't care. Look, God's bigger than that guy. I'm going to go after him. And Saul took a gamble and a risk, but he saw something in that youngster there. And David said unto Saul, verse number 34, thy servant kept thy father's sheep. There came a lion and a bear. And took the lamb out of the flock. And I went after him and smote him and delivered him out of his mouth. And when he arose against me, I caught him by his beard and smote him and slew him. The servant slew both the lion and the bear. And this uncircumcised Philistine shall be as one of them, seeing he defileth the armies of the living God. That's a Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. God will deliver us. He'll deliver us. Because God is able. If he doesn't, that's up to him. But I know he could. I know he could. And that's the spirit that God, that trust and that faith that God uses in his people. And so David said, moreover, the Lord that delivered me out of the paw of the lion and the paw of the bear had delivered me out of the hand of this Philistine. And Saul said unto David, go and the Lord be with thee. And Saul armed David with his armor and put his helmet of brass upon his head. Also, he armed him with the coat of mail. And David girded his sword upon his armor, and he essayed to go, for he had not proved it. I mean, Saul was a big guy. And, out of compassion, he says, well, David, you just can't go out there with your sling. Why don't you go ahead and take my suit of armor there? Well, he put it on, no doubt. You know, it was cumbersome and bulky, and he never operated in that before. And he says, I haven't proved this. I cannot go with these, for I have not proved them. And David put them off, and he took his staff in his hand and chose five smooth stones out of the brook and put them in the shepherd's bag, which he had, even in a scrip and a sling within his hand. And he drew near unto the Philistine, and the Philistine came on and drew near unto David, and the men that bare the shield went before him. And when the Philistine looked about and saw David, he disdained him, for he was but a youth, a ruddy, and a fair countenance. And the Philistine said unto David, am I a dog? Am I a dog that thou comest to me with staves? I mean, here's this giant of a guy, and here comes this boy. He says, what? This key's going to kill me with a stick? What? What are you, crazy? And the Philistine said to David, am I a dog that thou comest me with staves? And the Philistines cursed David and his God. And the Philistines said to David, come to me, and I will give thy flesh unto the fowls of the air and to the beasts of the field. You know, you ever hear the Pastor Pirate? He's got that tape out. Come to me, my little sheep. My name is Little Bo. Yeah, you heard that. And he's talking about, as we, some of you need to buy that. It's in the bookstore. That's a great tape, man. You'll love that thing. Giant Killers, man. We listened to that about 9,000 times. And I got off my notes there. Fowls of the air, to the beasts of the field. And David said to the Philistine, thou comest to me with a sword and with a spear and with a shield, but I come to thee in the name of the Lord of hosts, the God of the armies of Israel, whom thou hast defiled. He came with a stone, a little stone, just a stone. But you know what? If God is behind that stone, one stone can get the job done. Just one stone. That's all. Here's this giant, this 10 feet, all armed, and here's a little ruddy, fair countenance, courageous Christian. He's got a sling. He's got a piece of leather. That's all he's got. It's a great story. David said to the Philistine, thou comest to me. Verse number 46. And the day, this day will the Lord deliver thee into mine hand, and I will smite thee. Boy, you talk about confidence in God. I will smite thee and take thine head from thee, and I will give the carcass of the host of the Philistines this day unto the fowls of the air and to the wild beasts of the earth, that all the earth may know that there is a God in Israel. Man, he was motivated by the cause. It motivated him. I mean, he realized what was at stake. God's name is at stake here. And I think the greatest motivator is love. I really do. I think love motivates beyond everything supremely. I think a close second is the cause. The cause. That's what gets you up. That's what makes you read your Bible. That's what makes you put on the whole armor of God. And that's what makes you get ready for the battle. Is you realize there's a cause. There's a spiritual battle going on in the world today. Most of the people I meet today are without hope. They're lost. They have no idea that when they die, they have no concept of hell. They're blind. Yes, sir. God, I know. I'm a child of light. I understand. God, I need your help. I've got to be able to persuade these people. God, I can't do this. And so we put on the helmet of salvation. We put on the righteousness. And we put on the girdle of truth. And we get ready because The mission field, the enemy, we've got to go out and serve out there. And the Bible says, this day will the Lord deliver thee. Verse number 47. And all this assembly shall know that the Lord saveth not with sword and spear, for the battle is the Lord's. And he will give it unto you into your hands. And it came to pass when the Philistines arose and came and drew nigh to meet David, that David hastened and ran toward the army to meet the Philistine. And David put his hand in his bag and took thence a stone and slang it and smote the Philistine in the forehead, that the stone sunk into his forehead, and he fell upon his face in the earth. Man, can you imagine? I mean, could you imagine Saul over here in the armies of Israel watching this little ruddy teenage boy run after that giant with that sling? And he gets that thing going, and he's running full blast, and he flings that thing. And man, the suspense. And when it hits Goliath in the head, and that fella starts rocking, and it's embedded in his forehead, and he goes down, and the earth quakes. Everyone shakes. And he smote the Philistine and slew him, but there was no sword in the hand of David. Therefore, David ran and stood upon the Philistine. I don't know how he did it, but he took that big old sword and he took Goliath's sword and drew it out of his sheath thereof and slew him and cut off his head therewith. And when the Philistines saw their champion was dead, and that's just the way it is, you know what I mean? They fled. They got out of there. You know, sometimes it just takes one Christian to have courage. Just one Christian. It says after that, the next verse it says, and the men of Israel and of Judah arose and shouted. You know, it takes one Christian with some courage to say, you know what? I believe God. I believe God wants me to do something. I believe God wants me to live a certain way. I'm just going to trust God. And people that follow, they see that and it does something to them. They get energized. They feel like, wow, he's got a cause. He believes something and they follow. People want to follow something. You know what they follow? They follow people that have a cause. They want to get behind it. But someone's got to get the cause in their heart. Someone's got to grab a hold of it. Someone's got to believe God. Someone's got to step out and say, we're going to trust God. We believe God wants us to do this. We believe God wants us to go to Burma, Thailand. Pray, we got behind it. See, people want to get behind something for the Lord, but someone's got to walk point. Someone's got to be able to stand up and say, I believe God. All the obstacles and all the enemies and all that, I'm going to trust the Lord. The men of Israel and Judah, they came out and just a small thing can really encourage God's people. And, you know, just a testimony about someone leading someone to Christ. That's encouraging. It encourages us. I mean, if someone walks the aisle for salvation on Sunday, it's encouraging. It just encourages us. Someone gets baptized, it's like, yes! Yeah, praise the Lord. If we get flat as a church, when you get flat, it's hard to get up. Someone's got to get up. Someone's got to go knock on a door. Someone's got to hand out a gospel tract. Someone's got to invite someone to church. Someone's got to be willing to say, you know what? I'm going to be the one. I'm going to pour the gas on it. I'm going to fuel it. I'm going to help this thing. I'm not just going to ride along. I'm just not going to be a passenger. I'm just not going to be a follower. I'm going to be the one. I'll be the one. And that's a great challenge. It's great preaching for young people and adults. Bible says, and the children of Israel returned from chasing after the Philistine. You know, now they got courage, you know. For 40 days they were shaking in their boots. And now their champion is dead. All God's people are like chasing him down. Ah, we'll kill you now. And David took off the head of the Philistine and brought it to Jerusalem. But he put his armor in his tent. And when Saul saw David go forth against the Philistine, he said unto Abner, the captain of the host, Abner, whose son? They even forgot who David was. And Abner said, as thy soul liveth, O king, I can't tell. I don't know who he is. And the king said, inquire thou whose son or strapling, that means lad, this is. And as David returned from the slaughter of the Philistines, Abner took him and brought him before Saul. And I like that. You know, the next phrase there. Hey, who is that kid that slew the giant? I don't know who he is. Well, go find out. Man, it's this kid. Let's bring him. So he gets David, brings David over, and David says, oh, I can't forget my trophy, you know what I mean? He walks in with Saul with that giant of a head, you know, probably weighed more than David, probably about 200 pounds just in his head, you know, dripping wet. It's like, yeah, can I help you, boss? You need something? And he's standing before the king there, and it's great. And the king said unto inquire thou person, and David returned from the slaughter of the Philistines. And he presented himself to Saul, and Saul said unto him, whose son art thou, this young man? David answered, I am the son of thy servant. Don't you remember me? He said, don't you remember months and months ago? I'm the guy that came in. I'm the one that could play the harp, remember? Whoa. You know, he's just standing there. You know, it's dripping. Remember me? I'm the little guy that's taking care of the sheep out there. Good night. You know, God likes to do great things through seemingly, you know, just ordinary, wow, did that? Yeah. And there's a cause. There is a cause. And God's looking for people to get wrapped up in a cause. A cause. Thank God for the church. Church is a great, it's a great cause. Helping to build a church. It's a great cause. A Sunday school class is a great cause. Trying to disciple people for Jesus Christ. It's a great cause. Lose yourself in that cause. It's a great cause. Bus route, great cause. Ministering, public ministering when you come to church. Ministering by way of music. It's a great cause. Man, lose yourself in it. Man, do all you can for the Lord. And David ought to be some of the young people's heroes, man. If you want some heroes to read about and study about, man, read about David. So, man, I want to be just like David. Man, forget about, I don't even know who the heroes now. And so I don't watch sports anymore. It's not that I wouldn't like to. I don't have a TV to get sports. I probably would watch some. I guess in my office I catch a little bit. But I really don't know who the stars are, who the superstars are now. But oftentimes they catch the attention of our young people. I mean, just because they can hit a ball, you know, 500 feet. Is it 500 feet the wall? That's a long wall. They shouldn't. I mean, God gave them the ability and the strength and the coordination. They just did it a bunch of times. They got kind of good at it. Well, in eternity, God's not going to give out any crowns for baseball or football or basketball. There's nothing wrong with, you know, diversion and play and stuff like that, but really the real heroes ought to be, I'd be like David. Oh, man. Can you imagine? I'm sure when David was standing here with that sling sizing up that big old gorilla over there, he's probably thinking, man, give me a lion. Give me a bear. What is this thing? And he just believed God. And I'll tell you what. You know, we're coming down to the wire here going on this mission trip. I've just been saying lately, you know what? I'm just going to believe God. I'm just going to believe God. I'm just going to believe God. I'm just going to trust God. I'm just going to believe God. I believe God wants to do some great things. I'm not going to look at the obstacles. I'm not going to look at the possibilities. I'm not going to look at the mosquitoes. I'm just going to believe you, God. You want to save people? That you want people to be encouraged in their walk. You want pastors to be encouraged. You want pastors to be taught. And God, we're just going to believe you're going to do a great work. Just believe God. Amen. Well, you know, I really don't know if anything's really going to happen over there. And, you know, I'm just not sure about, you know, if I'm really supposed to go or not. Or, you know, I just hope everything works out. Oh, that's going to get a lot done. Now, you like that, huh, Josh? No. Look. You know, builds a Sunday school class? What builds a Sunday school class is saying, you know what, God, I am going to trust you for 20 students in my Sunday school class. And I'm going to pray, and I'm going to work, and I'm going to visit, and I'm going to pray, and I'm going to work, I'm going to visit. And God, I believe you can do it. Amen. Trusting God for some things. So I was just kind of floating around. Well, you know, if that happens, well, yeah, I guess that's good. Oh, that's going to happen. Get a cause. Get that cause down deep. So praise the Lord for the cause. The giants. Hey, you know why God gave David the lion and the bear? Is to get him ready for the big one. That's why he did it. He gave him the confidence to say, hey, you know what? You know why you're going through your temptation, your trials right now? It's for a bigger one. It's for a bigger one. You say, oh, preacher, you mean to tell me there's going to be something? Well, what are you, a coward? You don't think God can get you whip a bigger giant? Come on, there's a cause. So I'm really going through some struggles right now, and I'm just having a tough time right now. Well, you need to trust God, and you need to beat that giant, and you need to win that victory, because God's got some bigger things for you. He's got some bigger fish than you're supposed to skin over there. I mean, and it's a battle, and it's the Lord's. And all right, I'm going to quit here. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord for David. All right, we're going to let the kids. Are the kids doing music? Are they doing music tonight? All right, let's pray. Father, we thank you. Thank you for David. Thank you for that ruddy young fella that God, you worked through and God, thank you for the confidence that David had in you. Thank you for the work that he did for you. Thank you for his faith. God, we're going to learn a lot about David in the next couple of months here, Wednesday night. Lord, I pray that we would see that God can use people that simply have a desire to be used and want God to do some great things for them. I pray you'd help us. And thank you for tonight, for Jesus' sake. Amen.